Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. I'd like to take care of some housekeeping this evening concerning our church and the direction of our church, the philosophy of this ministry, which we believe is the Church of Jesus Christ. The other week we had a leadership training time, and within the little booklet that was given out, we affirm our direction as a church family, what we believe the Bible teaches concerning the direction of the church, and therefore we have a very distinct philosophy of ministry. Yeah, I'm going to use this today. I'm just going to bind myself to this pulpit today because I just feel that's what I need to do. The philosophy of ministry, what drives us, what moves us, biblical principles that determine our actions, our underlying belief system, and I believe as leaders and as a church family, we need to be of one mind, be of one spirit in this regard. The Lord Jesus established His church here in Matthew chapter 16. Our Lord said in verse number 18, "That I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your church and being assembled as a New Testament church. And I pray that you'd help us to value your church this evening. And more so, O God, help us and reveal to us our part within this body. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our Lord said, based upon Simon Peter's profession of Jesus Christ being the Saviour, there in verse number 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then our Lord went on to say in verse number 17, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So based upon Peter's confession of the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Saviour, our Lord teaches us in verse number 18 that he will build his church. A church is a called out assembly. And this New Testament church, this church of Jesus Christ, comprises of all those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. And within the scriptures, the church is a called out assembly within a place, assembled in one place. So it has to be visible, it has to be local, it has to be autonomous. And the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. So there are many churches in our day, but the church that Jesus Christ promised to build and teaches us that will continue to prevail is a church that is based upon Jesus Christ. In other words, it's made up of those that have repented of their sin, and like Simon Peter of old, they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. And the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock, your profession, Simon Peter, not upon you, but upon your profession. See? So a New Testament church is a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual organ. So the New Testament church comprises not only a body of people, but these individuals must have faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. The church is God's institution for the fulfilment of the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus established the church. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible teaches us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And I believe if we are to have a heart like God's heart, we likewise will have a love and appreciation for the New Testament church. We live in a day in which people are belittling the importance of the New Testament church. They really are. There are people today that have no regard for the New Testament church. And the only Christian organization that God ordained, that Jesus Christ established, is the New Testament church. And that's what you and I need to get behind and be a part of, and not be ashamed of being a part of a New Testament church. There are many good Christian organizations today, and they mean well, and some, if not many, are doing a good job in what they're trying to promote. But at the end of the day, God ordained one institution, and that is the church, his assembly. And if we are to be truly biblical in our philosophy of ministry, in our mindset, then every ministry, every Christian ministry that we seek to carry out must be carried out under the arm and under the banner of the New Testament church. Because that's what the Lord Jesus instituted. The church family concept and involvement is likened to a body. Go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. In verse 27, the Bible reads, "And ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Then he goes on to read, "And God hath set some in the church." So the New Testament church is likened to a body. A body is made up of varying parts. Each part of the body has an important contribution for the church. So therefore we, as the body of Christ, part of this New Testament church, we have a vital part within this church. And I believe it's important that we appreciate that and understand that it's our privilege to be a part of the body of Christ, which is the New Testament church. And that church body has varying parts, and each part of that body has a responsibility to minister to the other parts of the body. So therefore the church is likened to a body for that very reason. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth — the church at Corinth was not the most spiritual church — but he was trying to exhort them concerning the fact that you are a body, and therefore you need to take your eyes off yourself, and you need to be mindful that you have gifts and abilities to be used to minister to others. And that was the exhortation of the great Apostle Paul. So as we read the scriptures, there are many references to the New Testament church. And certainly I'm not here to bag or belittle any Christian organization that is sincerely trying to please the Lord. But Jesus Christ ordained the New Testament church. And that's what I'm going to get behind. I don't know about you. That's what I'm going to get behind. And that's what we're going to promote. See, Sydney Bible Baptist College, for example, is a ministry of a local New Testament church. The authority of that college, even though we have varying pastors involved, and I'm so thankful for every pastor that's involved within Sydney Bible Baptist College. But that Bible College ministry and all of those pastors, they minister under the authority of Metropolitan Baptist Church. So it's a local church ministry. See, I'm not saying that God cannot use these other Christian organizations, but I, for one, I'm going to get behind God's best, and that is the New Testament church. And I'd like to encourage you to be mindful of that principle, that the Bible teaches us the preeminence of the church. Now, back in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Another good reason why I'm going to support and get behind the New Testament church, and that will be my priority as a Christian, as a pastor, is simply because of this. Jesus Christ teaches that his church will prevail. His church will prevail. See, Christian organisations have come and gone. They've come and gone. And they will come and they will go. But the Lord Jesus promised perpetuity of his church. In other words, the doctrines upon which the church was founded upon will prevail. In other words, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in essence, our Lord was simply saying this, I will always have a people that will remain loyal to my name. Down through the ages, I will always have my people, the Church of Jesus Christ, will prevail. Now many of these believers have gone under varying names. But the most common name is the name Baptist. It would probably be the most well-known and well-used name to identify these people of the Bible. See, we are a Baptist church. We are a Baptist church not just because we like the name. It is a lovely name. I like the word Baptist. It's a nice name. But we are Baptists because the name Baptist identifies us with our beliefs. See, you'll find all of the main denominations in our day find their stem back to a man, to a founder, a human founder. But when you consider the Baptist church, we do not have a human founder. Because Baptist churches are people of the book. So we are Baptist because of our doctrinal belief. Our name points back to our biblical doctrine, which is baptism by immersion for all those that have received Jesus Christ as Saviour. Nothing more, nothing less. That is the essence, that is the core of our belief system as Baptist people. We believe that a person is baptized by immersion and only a person that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. And down through the ages, in fact, from the time of Jesus Christ, there has always been a people that have held true to this Bible doctrine. So we as Baptists do not have our origin in a man like the Lutheran Church or the Presbyterian Church, or the Catholic Church. I'm often asked, who started the Baptist Church? And I like to respond to that by simply asking them, who do you think started the Baptist Church? Because the name Baptist does not identify us back to a man, i.e. the Lutheran Church stems you back to Martin Luther. Our principles identify us as Baptist people, as a people of the book, as a people of the Bible. So as Baptist people, we are Bible-believing Christians. And the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail it. And I believe that the Baptist people are people that do not find their origins in a man, but find their origins in Bible doctrine, perpetuated down through history from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though our forefathers were persecuted, even though many of our forefathers were chopped and hacked to death, I'm thankful that there are still Baptist churches today. There are still Bible-believing Christians today because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The New Testament church is a Bible-centered church. And we call ourselves a Baptist church because our basis is the Scriptures. It is not resting upon some individual like Martin Luther that came out of the Catholic Church for a good reason, because he simply read the Bible and he could see from the Bible that man is justified by faith. But the problem with Martin Luther was that he still held on to some of his Catholic beliefs. So we as Bible-believing Baptists, we are not Protestants. That's an insult. I'm not a Protestant. I didn't protest out of the Catholic Church. Baptists did not come from the Catholic system. They are Protestants. There has always been Baptist people. There's always been people that believe that baptism is by immersion and not for babies, but only for those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour. Jesus Christ ordained the church. And Jesus Christ said that there will be doctrinal perpetuity. There will always be a people that will hold true to Bible doctrine. And down through history, the most common name to these believers, even though they've been known by many names, The most common name was originally the name Anabaptist, because they opposed the baptism of the Roman Catholic Church. And during through history, that Anna was chopped, and these people were known as Baptist people. So I'm a Baptist because of Bible doctrine. And if you really believe the Bible, whether you like it or not, you are a Baptist. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian first. Yes, I am as well. But if you believe the Bible, then you are a Baptist. Don't be ashamed of Bible doctrine. We are Baptists because of the Bible. If you are Bible, then you are a biblical Baptist, because that's where our stem goes back to. The Bible teaches the preeminence of the local New Testament church. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christ loved the church and died for the church. And I believe sincerely, as we start this new year and as we start to just warm up in service for our Lord, I'd like to encourage you this evening. Love what God loves. Love the church. Treasure the church. Don't take the church of Jesus Christ for granted. There are countless people throughout this land and throughout the world that would love to be a part of a New Testament church. You have a New Testament church here. Let's not take that for granted. The preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is at the heart of a Bible church. Go to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul exhorts a pastor by the name of Timothy concerning the importance of preaching the word. Note here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But note then verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The Apostle Paul was warning young Timothy concerning a day that is coming, a day in which people will not appreciate the importance of Bible doctrine. But in spite of that, the Apostle Paul exhorts young Timothy to place emphasis upon the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, because there will come a day in which people will not appreciate Bible doctrine. And as the New Testament church, we place a great emphasis upon the fact that this New Testament church, if it is truly the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will place a strong emphasis upon the importance of preaching and teaching the Word of God. So the preaching and teaching ministry is at the heart of our church ministries. Through the main services, we have the preaching of the Word of God. Through the varying people ministries within the church, from the Sunday school classes to the life stage classes, the youth ministry and ladies meetings and whatever ministry prevails within this church program, at the core of it all will be the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. This is the New Testament church. We are to perpetuate truth. Even though there are some very needy social issues in our day, even though people like to be entertained and all the above, we as a New Testament church will continue to just preach and teach the Bible. See, because that's the church that Jesus Christ established. Our name as a church identifies us to doctrine. So it would only be fitting that we propagate and promote that doctrine. I know the issue of abortion is a serious issue, and I'm not for abortion. Neither are you. But we are not going to, as a church family, get involved in a campaign against abortion. I can tell you how you can solve the issue of abortion, win people to Christ. Amen.
That's how you solve the issue of abortion. Let me tell you how you solve the issue of sodomy. Sodomy is despicable. It's an abomination to God. But I'm really not going to waste my time as a New Testament pastor of a New Testament church protesting against sodomy. The best remedy for sodomy is soul winning. See? That's Bible. See? We need to change people from within. Placards, I don't think that works. All right? I'm sorry, it looks good and you might get media attention, but it doesn't work. The heart of man needs to be changed. That sodomite needs the Lord Jesus Christ. That young lady being tempted to abort, that child within her womb needs Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that changes lives. Is not my word like a hammer, the Bible teaches, and like a fire that devours? The Word of God is powerful. And we as a New Testament church, no matter what ministry you're involved in, don't underestimate the importance of proclaiming the Word of God. And you ministry leaders that have the privilege of teaching the Word of God, please teach the Word of God. Please preach the Word of God. Don't just talk about the Bible. Open up the Bible, read the Bible, declare the Bible. That's what the New Testament church is all about. So within the New Testament church, there's an emphasis upon the Word of God. Also within the New Testament church, there is an emphasis upon soul winning, the Great Commission. There in Luke chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, we are given the Great Commission. We are to preach the gospel, we are to baptize, we are to teach them the teachings of Christ. And here in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The New Testament church has the awesome responsibility of declaring and proclaiming the Word of God. And for those of us that are part of this church body, please don't take that lightly. Please see the importance and the privilege and the responsibility which is ours to proclaim and declare the Word of God. But also as a New Testament church, the church that Jesus Christ established was an aggressive church. They weren't aggressively angry, they were aggressively proclaiming the gospel. See? And the Son of Man said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So there is a priority within this issue of soul winning. Soul winning is the starting point of fulfilling the Great Commission. The New Testament church propagated and promoted personal soul winning. God's people were encouraged to be a soul winner on a personal level. And also the New Testament church went out as a church family and sought to win people to Christ. This is the New Testament church. And through the various people ministries within our church, whether it be the children's ministries or the teen ministry or the men's ministries or the ladies' ministry, all of these ministries need to be involved in not only teaching and preaching the Word of God, but also each of these ministries need to be mindful there are people in need of a Savior. There are people that need to be saved. There are people that need redemption. The priority of soul winning is a part of a New Testament church. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, that's very obvious. Well, it's not as obvious as what you think. Because if it was, then all of our church family would be out soul winning every Saturday. So it needs to be emphasized all the time. See? There are many churches that do not have a soul winning ministry. But by God's grace, thank God for our soul winning ministry. That doesn't take the place of you and I witnessing personally. That should go without saying. One is not an excuse for the other. But within the New Testament church, a Bible-believing church, there is an emphasis not only upon the teaching of the Word of God, but also upon personal soul winning. And this is very, very important. But also there should be an emphasis within the New Testament church on the issue of purity. Purity within the life of the saint. If you go back to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians. Our Lord's relationship to the church is likened to the relationship between a husband and wife. And note then in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 25 and 26, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So just like it is the responsibility of a husband to protect the purity of his spouse, so likewise Christ said, my goal and purpose for my church, for my people, is that they likewise be maintained in purity. The Word of God has a cleansing effect by the washing of water by the Word. So within the teaching and preaching ministry of the New Testament church, purity should be emphasized. A church that does not emphasize purity amongst God's people is not a New Testament church. Purity in the life of the believer. We will encourage personal holiness within this church family. Godliness. Establishing and practicing biblical convictions and standards based upon the Word of God. Learning what the Scriptures teach. Then taking the principles of the Scriptures and developing principles that will manifest themselves in personal standards and guidelines that will determine how I live, who I spend time with, where I go, where I don't go, what I listen to, what I look upon. This issue of personal holiness. We sang this evening, holy, holy, holy. God is holy, is he not? And God commands holiness from his people. So we as the church family are not going to be backward in coming forward in encouraging you to live a holy life. So therefore, every now and again, we like to encourage the people of God that to stay away from ungodliness and to pursue godliness within one's life. We're going to do that because it's important that the church maintain a standard of purity. You young people, you be careful where you roam on that mobile phone of yours. You be very careful. Be very careful. And you mature age people, you be careful where you go with that phone. And you adult, you be careful what you watch upon TV. What are you going to watch this evening? Let me ask yourself this question. Could the Lord Jesus sit with me and watch this with me? Just ask yourself that question. That might help and aid the issue concerning holiness and purity. So the Church of Jesus Christ was a holy church, and therefore we as a church family will encourage you to live holy. So please don't be shocked if I say something against something that you're involved in. Don't be shocked, because my responsibility as a shepherd is to encourage you to live holy, to challenge you concerning the type of music you listen to, or the internet sites that you visit, or the relationships that you have. See, we need to encourage one another to live holy. This is the New Testament church. An emphasis upon the Word of God, the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, an emphasis upon soul winning, an emphasis upon purity. And also, within the New Testament church, there should be an emphasis upon maturing the saints for effective service. There in Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:12 reads, for the perfecting of the saints. God gives a church pastors and teachers for the perfecting or maturity of the saints. To what end? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So as the church teaches and preaches the Bible, the effect of that should be that God's people are being grounded and taught
with the Word of God and in the Word of God how to serve their God. So the purpose of the New Testament church and your part within this church, for those of you that teach and preach within this church family, bear in mind that your responsibility is beyond just teaching the Word of God. Our teaching has an ultimate end that we want to ground people, we want to mature people in the Word of God so that they in turn will turn around and serve God and be better equipped to serve the Lord. So in other words, the church is a training ground. This is a training center where we train God's people to serve Him. And this takes place through the weekly ministry of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, where God's people have been matured for effective service. And if God's people have been matured, then they will serve for the work of the ministry. And the church will be built up for the edifying of the body of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible teaches us that we are to reproduce ourselves. We are to train others. We train others using the Word of God. Not by using humanistic philosophy or the values of this world, but simply by taking the Word of God and teaching people the Word of God. And I'd like to encourage you, if you're a part of this New Testament body, it's your responsibility to reproduce yourself, to train others, to get involved in training and building other believers. In Ephesians, please, chapter 3 it is, verse number 21. Our God glories in the church. The Bible reads, "Unto Him be glory in the church." God loves the church. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Note this, throughout all ages. World without end. See the perpetuity of the church. Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So what church will prevail? What church will continue to exist? It's a New Testament church that is based upon the Word of God. Doctrines found within the Word of God. A New Testament church that is advancing forward by fulfilling the Great Commission. A New Testament church that has an emphasis upon personal purity and also maturity. Maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. A church that is focused upon excellence. There in Colossians chapter 3, please, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His church. And because it's our Lord's church, and we are privileged to be a part of His church, may God help us to do our best for Him. Do our best within our ministry. Instead of giving God our leftovers or our second-hand effort, let's give God our very best. Let's give Him our best, because this is His church. He loves the church. Let me ask you, do you love the church? Oh yes, Pastor, I love the church. I trust that's your answer. Well, let me ask you, what are you doing to propagate the perpetuity of this church? Are you involved in serving others? For those of you that have a ministry, are you promoting the preaching and teaching, not of your own ideas, but the Word of God? Are we living holy? Are we personally involved in soul winning? See, if you love the church, then you'll give your life for the church. And you'll see this as a priority.
I'm afraid that many of God's people do not see the importance of the church. And I'm thankful that this evening I'm sure I'm talking to those that do see the value of the church. And I thank God for you. But let's not take that for granted. Let's continue to encourage one another. Christ loved the church. He didn't love the Christian institution or organization. He loved the church. So we should love what Christ loves. And we need to get behind the church and support the church and pray and fast with the church and see the importance of authority within the church and see the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the New Testament church. The power of God is available through God's people praying. The most important meeting of the week is not Sunday morning. It's been well said that those that love the pastor attend church on Sunday morning. Those that love the church attend church on Sunday night. And those that really love God will attend church at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. That's where your real church meets. Gathering for prayer. Reflecting that dependence upon God for power and for strength. The church is made up of people. And the Lord Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by your love one for another." May God help us to love one another as Christ loved the church. Romans chapter 5 tells us we can love one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's love the church. And let me encourage you, brethren, this evening, don't underestimate the importance of the New Testament church. Let's thank God for the church. We're in church history right now. And may this leg of church history continue to perpetuate in a biblical line. Because the truth of church history is that instead of God's people staying on track, God's people tend to stray. That's church history all over. But may God help us as a New Testament church to remain true to the Word of God and not to take this church for granted. To pray for this church. Let's pray for one another. Pray for this pastor. He needs your prayers. I need your wisdom. I need your prayers. I'm praying for you. Let's pray one for another. Let's not take this church for granted. Value the church. Get behind the church. And praise God that you're in a church that emphasizes the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. A church that emphasizes soul winning, the starting point for filling the Great Commission. Praise God that you're in a church that is promoting and propagating purity. And thank God that you're in a church that is determined to train and build others. Don't take for granted your church, of which you are a part of. But let me encourage you in 2012 to just do your part to make sure that you're ministering to the rest of the body and you're aiding the well-being and the growth of the New Testament church that Jesus Christ ordained and tells us will prevail. Let's bow for prayer.